are listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast.
32 years of being on the streets. Yep. How many times have you been arrested?
Oh, good Lord, man. A lot of times. A lot of times. I've had DUIs, mostly misdemeanors, you know, stupid crap. You know, drinking in public, disorderly conduct, you know, the basic crap homeless people get. you know, you go in, go to arraignment, you BS the judge, and she's like, okay, and they let you go.
Do you think those petty crimes, like the misdemeanor crimes, the camping and the loitering type of crimes, do you think that affects, or how does that affect someone that is dealing with being homeless and wants to get out of that? Does it stunt them from being able to progress and try to get out of the streets?
No, it basically comes down to the person and themselves wanting to get out of the street. If they want to get out of the street and the help is there, then they'll get out. Unlike myself, only based on my experience, I know the help is there, but I'm not going to go through the red tape of the system. It's I just don't have the tolerance for it.
And by red tape, what do you mean by that? Specify on that.
Well, let's see. I hate to embarrass myself, but I was involved with CHA, and Yuma. And I don't know how I got them, but somehow these boils started popping up on my butt and they started bleeding. And I was like, what the hell is this? So I went to CHA and the doctor looked at me and they're like, oh yeah, you need to have surgery. I was like, okay, we're going to give you an appointment. Okay. 2 months for a damn appointment. Okay. Once I go through that appointment, another 4 months to go get the rest of the situation done. Come on, man. 6 months just to have surgery? I guess I'm impatient, I guess. I don't know, but... And then, you know, being in, like, places like CBI, Sonora in Tucson, Cornerstone in Tucson, I just can't take it, man. There's people in there screaming about their medication at 6 o'clock in the morning while you're trying to sleep. If I can't get away from it, man, it's going to drive me nuts, and I'm going to do something I know damn well I'm not supposed to do. So you got to bullshit your way out of that place so they'll let you go. Because I had one doctor tell me, what the hell did she tell me? She's like, are you sure you want to go? Yeah, I want to go. Well, don't you want to finish your program? What program? I'm not on any program. Well, we can give you all these resources and blah, blah, blah. No, thanks. Because CHA tried to help me out with a place to live, and I got to thinking about it, and it's like, I don't like being around people in society. Why in the hell am I going to go live in a box next to someone I don't like and then have to fake it that I like them just to get along with them? Screw it. I can live out here on the street, be by myself, and, you know, not have to mess with people. You know, the only time I mess with people is, you know, like when I'm panhandling. Other than that, you know, I get my check and I survive for about three and a half weeks. And okay, back to being cool with people and asking them for, you know, a dollar or some change, you know.
Do you feel like the facilities that you were in, do you feel like they really, truly tried and really, truly cared? And it was just you not wanting to work the program or continue the program? Or do you feel like, what were you at with that?
Well, I'm going to tell on CBI here in Casa Grande. There were some people there that, you know, at least acted like they cared. But there was a group of nurses that came in on the morning shift And you know how they call it the bubble for all the nurses and everybody hang out?
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of girls that worked the morning shift. And, man, they were in there joking and laughing and telling them jokes and everything. But walk up to them and tell them, hey, you know, I'm going through some shakes. I need an Ativan or something, man, to get the shakes to go away. Okay, yeah, sure. We'll be right with you. Man, 2 hours later, I'm still sitting there suffering, puking in a puke bag. But then they get pissed off if you approach them again and say, hey, look, what's up? Oh, we'll be right with you. And there's some that honestly care, and then there's those that are just there for the damn paycheck and think they look good in a pair of tight dickies. And that's my honest opinion. I've been through this for a long time. I've been into a lot of places. I mean, I've been to a 28-day program, and they gave me Lexapro. I was already on like 6 friggin' antidepressant pills, and I wasn't depressed. I'm hyper as hell. You know, if I'm not drunk or smoking pot, man, my brain bounces on the inside of my skull and it's like, stop. I'm not depressed. But I'm a guinea pig for the pharmaceutical company because the pharmaceutical company gives these rehabs and rehabilitation centers samples. And then they say, oh, well, maybe you need to take this or maybe you need to take that. No, they gave me Lexapro, man. I freaked out. I swear to God, I was up for 4 days. And I was paranoid as hell, and I thought everybody was talking about me.
And for the listeners, what is Lexapro?
Hell if I know. All I know is it's a little white pill. I mean, a really small white pill. And but man, it will screw your world up. Me personally, it made me freaking paranoid. And it just got to the point to where it was like 26 days into a 28-day program. I couldn't take it no more, man. The anxiety was starting to build up. And I went to my counselor, and I told him, man, I said, I got to go. I can't take this anymore. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, dude, y'all gave me that Lexapro, and I'm not taking it no more, man. Well, if you don't take your prescribed medicines, then you're going to have to go. Okay, bye. And I did. I went and packed my stuff, and I left.
What program was that with?
A place called Charlie's Place in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Okay.
But my counselor told me, don't worry about it. You're just going through benzodiazepine withdrawal. And I don't think so, man. I was fine until I took that damn little white pill called Lexapro. I'm not taking it. Well, if you don't take it, you got to go. Okay. See you. Bye. And I left, and I went jamming out around Corpus Christi, panhandling, getting tossed off the property. And here's the messed up thing. The way they got them halfway houses set up is that you have to have a job, but they give you a piece of paper, and you have to go to at least 3 AA meetings a day. How in the hell are you going to go to 3 AA meetings a day and work an 8-hour shift to pay your rent at the halfway house?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're working at night, you know, but there's no jobs at night in Corpus Christi. So
I think out here, most of the places that most of the sober livings that I've, or the halfway houses that I've called, it's typically, I think, I want to say like, some of them that I've called, I think it's like three, they've told me it's like 3 AA or NA meetings a week for most of them. Would that have been doable if it was something like that?
Well, my mom was a drunk. Christmas sucked, Thanksgiving sucked, that's why I don't celebrate it. My birthday sucked. I'm born on December 15th, 1970. On my whole mom's side of the family, my grandma was a drunk. My uncle was a drunk. So I just got the gene, I guess. I don't know.
So yeah, it's safe to say that alcoholism runs in your family. How much do you drink?